Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast, starring your sexy host, Joe Shortridge.
Hello.
And his ugly sister, Shorty.
What is happening?
What's going on, my brother?
Another day in the studio.
We are in the studio, and I'm so excited because we have our very cool banner right behind us, and it just gets me excited because it's all coming together now.
Yep,
we look a little professional.
We will definitely stand out.
We'll definitely stand out.
8-foot by 10-foot banner behind us. But we were talking. We need some way to cover up the walls that and separate us from the other vendors.
So if you ever come out and see us at one of our live events, you won't miss us.
No, and take your picture in front of our banner.
Yay, with us. We love to meet new people. It's so awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a really, really exciting show for you guys today. So just, you guys, this is going to be an epic, epic episode.
Yes, there was kind of famous guy that bought a kind of famous article.
Yeah.
And now he has it in his soon-to-be famous museum.
Yeah, so we'll tell you all about it in a little bit. But Joe, what are we up to?
What's going on? I did want to mention about we did stop last week in Lorain, Ohio, at the Gift of Light Expo. That was kind of cool. And one really neat thing, and I didn't know he was going to be there, but we actually got to meet Raymond Andrew Keeler II.
Yeah, he's an author and a very interesting, very knowledgeable guy.
I tell you what, when you talk about the Nordics and aliens and stuff like that, he's like the guy to go to.
He's like an encyclopedia.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I got his book, and it's huge.
Yeah, it's a really nice book.
It's huge.
Really well put together.
It's like 4x8, the size. 311 pages. And you know how long it's going to take me to read this?
Yeah, like a year.
I'm trying to get through that tiny little book on near-death experiences.
What's the name of the book? What is it?
It's Venus Rising, a Constance.
Concise.
I need to read. I need to learn.
You are learning every day.
I need to learn word. And it's the history of the second planet.
Yeah.
It's all about the Nordics and different alien races. And this book goes in such detail. It is amazing how much detail he has in this book.
So it's all about the planet Venus itself.
It's about all of them and different things. And I mean, I have not got through it yet. So, I mean, I just thumbed through it because I'm trying to finish the other book first. But he talks about so many things all the way up to modern time. He references Batman. He references Superman, the ancient Egyptians, just all kinds of stuff.
Cool.
And but if you get a chance, just look him up online.
Yeah, he's the doctor, Dr. Raymond Andrew Keeler II.
Yeah, awesome dude.
Yeah,
I'm glad.
Nice.
That's all the other stuff. We met some neat psychics, but out of all the things, meeting him was really cool.
Yeah, we love authors, don't we?
I don't.
Buy me a book. Okay, so anyways, Joey.
We got
something special.
Okay, we want to make you guys laugh, and it's just not the only time when you look at my picture.
This is epic.
So we looked up some stories, and we thought the guy in Toledo here that was chasing his wife around with the machete was a funny story because of his mugshot.
It was a top 10 classic mugshot.
It's nothing, because we found it. We found
it. The ultimate story.
And I cannot read this.
We can't make it through, so we have to bring in a little special something.
I found the story on YouTube, and we're going to play it for you.
This is recent, folks.
This is 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So.
All right, we're going to comment. You listen, we'll comment.
All right, here we go.
Woman arrested for training squirrels to attack her ex-boyfriend. 45-year-old Jenna Smith was arrested this morning by officers of the Detroit Police Department for allegedly capturing numerous squirrels and training them to attack her former lover. The victim, 51-year-old James Robinson, was presumably attacked by the rodents on more than a dozen occasions over the last month. These attacks caused many serious injuries.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, so a lot of you guys don't know, but my house is, I've got like the biggest tree in Toledo in my front yard.
Yep.
It's a giant oak tree that's been around for
300
or more years. But it is so covered with squirrels, and they yell at me when I go out in my yard.
It's like a squirrel condominium.
I've had them actually knocking on my front door to give them food, so I can relate with this story. All right. So here we go. More.
Including the loss of two fingers and one testicle bitten off by his attackers.
They were after his nuts.
Poor man had no idea why squirrels kept attacking him until he saw his ex-girlfriend, a former circus animal trainer, chewing the animals during one of the attacks.
No way.
She was partially hidden between some bushes.
Get him!
Or behind
get
some bushes.
Get those
I
nuts.
I could clearly attack. See her and hear her. She was yelling orders at the squirrels and telling them to attack me. Realizing that his life could be in danger, Mr. Robinson filed a complaint to the police, who paid a visit to Miss Smith. In her residence, they found a dozen cages holding a total of 27 squirrels. They also found two training dummies with pictures of Mr. Robinson taped over their faces.
See, I cannot read this.
Police Chief James Craig confirmed that Janice Smith had confessed her responsibility in the attacks.
Oh my God. And how confessed did they arrest her with
a strange plot.
They had a press
Miss
release.
Smith confessed to capturing and training squirrels to harass and attack her ex-boyfriend. She used to train lions for a circus, so it was easy for her to make the animals do as she wanted.
Oh my God.
She said she hoped to raise squirrels. An army of up to 50 or 100 animals. The 45-year-old woman is now facing a variety of criminal charges linked to criminal harassment and using animals as weapons. Janice Smith's lawyers have demanded for her to undergo psychological evaluation, claiming that she was unfit to stand trial. They say that her choice of training squirrels instead of dogs or bears suggests that she might be suffering from mental problems.
Because there's so many bears in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. If she is judged fit to stand trial, Miss Smith will be facing a maximum of 65 years in prison.
That's almost a year per squirrel. But that's like, I'm laughing so hard.
This is the best story we ever brought our listeners ever. Ever.
That's why I couldn't read it. I was like, I started reading it. I was just laughing so hard. I'm like, I know this is going to be online. So I looked it up online.
It can't be a real story. It has to be a fake news story, but it's not.
No, there was a... They had a press release with the chief of police and the mayor standing in the background.
Seriously, this is we have crime, we have wars going on, and we're having press releases about women who train squirrels
train
to attack.
Squirrels to
their,
attack and
their ex-lovers
get nuts.
Nuts.
She
just a squirrel trying to get a nut.
She had dummies in her house with this picture on it.
Joe, if you ever see this chick, you better run
That's
away.
Another thing. Is,
how in the world did they meet her?
I am going to post her picture on our Facebook page,
Lord.
Because her
mugshot is epic.
Funny.
I think it's better than Gary Busey's.
Oh, yeah.
And Nick Nolte's put together.
Wait till you see this.
Oh, man.
All right, so.
Oh, man. I'll never look at a squirrel again.
Yeah, go outside and they yell at me.
They'll be all lining up with little tiny machine guns. Pew, pew, pew. Give me your nuts.
I'm going to have to wear a codpiece.
I can't. Come on. I can't. This is the best show ever. Oh, man.
And here we are going to talk about a very serious.
Yes, serious demonic topics.
The demonic squirrels are going to be attacking.
Oh, my God.
But anyhow.
Jesus, take the wheel. Yeah. Okay, what's our show topic?
Oh, hello, folks.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for listening.
Squirrel.
Oh, jeez. Oh, no, help me. I can't.
So Zach Bagan.
Squirrel.
Bought a box.
Hey, don't you like that band Squirrel Nut Zipper?
Yeah, I listen to them all the time.
Okay.
And that was part of the training, Squirrel Nut Zipper. It's the other way around, Squirrel Zipper Nuts.
Oh,
he couldn't figure out why the squirrels were trying to attack him.
They're probably going up his pant leg.
Ninja squirrels.
He lost two fingers.
Two fingers and a walnut. Right.
Oh, my God. Oh, Lord.
So on a serious note, Zach Bagan actually acquired the Divic box, and they call it a Divic box, but I don't know how it's actually pronounced. I read it as Dibook.
It could
box,
be Dibook.
And my Dibic? Nose is running because I'm laughing so
hard. Oh, my God. Just wipe it on your sleeve.
Okay, I'll wipe it on the microphone.
I'll get some squirrels in here to wipe it with their tail. All right, so it's really been in the news lately about the Dibic. I'm just going to say Dibic.
Okay.
However you guys want to pronounce it, it's fine.
All right.
But you can pronounce it however you want. So this box, you know, was sold on eBay. And this guy bought it. But now Zach, I don't know how Zach came into possession of
it. Yeah, I don't
know. But it's going to be in his haunted museum, supposedly. And I just want to, like, maybe if I can go back and I'll just tell everybody what it is.
Okay.
Okay, so the Dybbuk box, and it's a wine cabinet, and it's said to be haunted by a Dybbuk. So a Dybbuk is a restless, usually malicious spirit, mm-hmm. believed to be able to haunt and possess the living.
Yeah.
The box gained notoriety when it was auctioned off on eBay, accompanying a horror story written by Kevin Manis, which is the original inspiration for the movie called The Possession.
Okay.
And it was in 2012
All right.
that this came out. So the legend and the term Dybbuk box was created and used by Kevin Manis to describe the wine cabinet in the item information section on the eBay auction. And the subject of his original story describing the paranormal events, which he related to that happened because of the box. So he's a writer and a creative professional by trade. He owned a small antiques and furniture store in Portland, Oregon, at the time that he bought the box.
Yeah.
So according to his story, he bought the box in an estate sale in 2003.
Okay.
It had belonged to a survivor of the Holocaust in German-occupied Poland. Her name was Halavia. I'm just Halavia? I'm going to say Havala.
Helen.
Havala. Havala? Okay. Sorry if I mispronounced
Have it. A lot of squirrels?
Trying to make it through this story, Joe. Squirrel. Okay. So I'll just say Havala. Halava. She escaped into Spain and purchased the box there before she emigrated to the United States. So her granddaughter told this guy Manis that the box had been bought in Spain after the Holocaust. Upon hearing that the box was a family heirloom, he offered to give the box back to the family, but the granddaughter insisted that he keep it. They did not want it back.
Yeah.
It says, you know, she quote, "We don't want it." She said she told him the box had been kept in her grandmother's sewing room and was never opened because there was a Dybbuk said to live inside of it.
Yeah.
So, okay. So this guy opens the box.
Which he was told not to do.
Right.
And it.
But how could you not open it? You bought it.
Exactly.
You want to see what's in it.
Exactly.
So after opening the box, he wrote that he had found it contained. Okay. This is what he had that was in it. So there was two 1920s pennies, a lock of blonde hair bound with a cord, a lock of brownish black hair bound with a small cord, a small statue engraved with Hebrew, the word shalom, a small golden wine goblet, a dried rosebud, a single candle holder with four octopus-shaped like legs. So yeah. It was kind of like, you know, a stand-up candle thing. So there had been numerous owners of the box, and they all had reported that it had strange phenomena attached to it.
Phenomena.
Rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So Manis, he wrote a story, okay? And he experienced, like, all of these horrific nightmares, which he, you know, shared with other people that had been in possession of the box. So when they stayed as... Or anybody who stayed at his home also had these nightmares.
And they're the same nightmares.
Yes.
You know?
Yep. So his mother had suffered a stroke the same day that he gave her the box as a birthday present, October 28th. So every owner of the box had reported that the box smelled of cat urine or jasmine flowers. And all of the nightmares that all these people had involved this old hag who accompanied the box. So one of the owners, the last person to own it before it got auctioned to, and this guy bought it, was Joseph Nitschke. He was a Missouri student at Truman State University in Kirksville, Missouri. He was the last person to auction the box off on eBay. So he was claiming that the box had caused lights to burn out in his house, his hair to fall out. He also was going through strange health problems. Another guy who had bought it, I think from this guy, I don't know, there's there's probably some kind
it's a trail of.
Yeah. So this guy had hives, coughed up blood. He had head to toe welts. So he, this guy who owned, I think it was before this guy, it's probably been, what, 4 or 5 owners, you think?
Oh, yeah. Because okay. It's been around since.
20s. Yeah. 20s. Okay. So he went to some Jewish rabbis and some religious leaders and tried to figure out a way to seal the dibuk
mm-hmm.
back into the box. Because apparently they must have all opened it. I mean, you know.
Well, they did. And like the college students, they actually, there was one instance where they were having a party right after they got the box. They opened it and this girl, they made her put her hand in it. She didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
She put her hand in it and just about went nuts.
Oh, no.
You know, and they had all kinds of issues. The one of the roommates, he actually started to be more closed in and all that and attempted suicide.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So
the interesting thing too is the guy that bought it, he gave it to his mother as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
When he gave her the box, she opened it to look inside. He walked out of the room. She had a stroke.
Yeah. Crazy.
Just right from opening up the box.
All right. So this lady who originally owned the box or okay. bought the box, her cousin, I think it was her cousin, or somebody in the family, had told this guy, Kevin, this little story that, like, between the two world wars, World War I and World War II, seances were really popular. So this, her name was Sophie, and Havila, the lady who originally bought it, had made a spirit board and somehow came in contact with otherworldly beings. They suspected that it was a negative energy and was, you know, like they attracted this mm-hmm. evil spirit.
Yep.
So they had tried to bind the spirit that they had some, but failed. And then after the war, they tried to bind it again and were able to trap it inside this box.
Okay, I was going to ask you if you knew how they got it into the box.
Yeah. I don't know exactly, like physically how or what they said or anything, but
I think it was more like a seance type deal thing where they coerced it.
Yeah, sure. So when this Sophie was being interviewed, she kept apologizing. And the guy, this Manus guy who, you know, had owned it, he was like kind of confused. She was getting upset. And she said it was probable that the spirit they had summoned had caused World War II.
When you told me that, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you think of a spirit that possibly caused world wars in this box and mm-hmm. people open it up and let it out.
Yeah, but, well, here's the thing. So the reason she was thinking this was because there's a connection between the Dybbuk box,
mm-hmm.
this movement called eugenics,
okay.
and Hitler.
Oh.
So even though they now understood the history of the wine cabinet, one of the guys who owned it, you know, was curious of, like, what influenced the strange events that associated the Dybbuk box. So after doing research, he came up with this name, Harry Laughlin.
Okay.
So he was famous for his role in this eugenics movement, which inspired Hitler to create the super race. So it was because of this movement that Hitler had attempted to eliminate the races that he thought were inferior.
Okay. Yeah.
Which we all know, you know, like, and going back in history. All about Hitler and everything. So this Harry Laughlin, the founder of eugenics and inspiration to Hitler, the interesting part was that the university that Laughlin went is the same university that this Joseph Nitschke, who owned the box at one time, went to.
Is that the college kids that I was talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was another name, but then it ended up being Truman State University.
Interesting.
So, and
it goes back to where we've talked about before, where the spirits will manipulate things to get back to the original spots where they're familiar with.
But what a strange connection that the lady thought the spirit caused World War II,
mm-hmm.
which was connected to Hitler,
yep.
which was connected to the guy that Hitler was influenced by, who went to the same college that years and years later, this guy attended.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he owned the Dybbuk box.
Yep.
So how do you explain that?
It's all part of how the spirit tries to get back to its original roots.
So, yeah. Okay, so we know what the box, so it's physically a wooden box.
Yeah, it's a wine cabinet.
Little tiny, you know, it's probably, what, 12 inches tall, maybe 18 inches? No,
a little
inches.
Bigger than that, yeah. Okay, but so, I mean, it's, like, well, you figure it's made to hold 4 wine bottles.
Mm-hmm, and some glasses.
And right? glasses. Okay. But she didn't use it for that. She bought this box because she got out of the concentration camp. Mm-hmm. She was the only survivor, her whole family.
Oh, wow.
And so she bought this box. It's probably just, you know, to own something.
Mm-hmm. So,
and
what exactly is a Dybbuk, though?
Well, okay, so
because we know what the box is, but we it's the spirit that we're interested in.
Well, in European and Jewish folklore, Dybbuk is a spirit of a dead person that attaches himself to a person on the earth. The term Dybbuk or Dybbuk, however you want to say it, is derived from a Hebrew term meaning attachment. Mm-hmm. According to tradition, a soul that has not been able to fulfill its function in this lifetime is sometimes given a second opportunity to accomplish that goal. And that, an evil one, is called a Dybbuk or a Dybbuk. Dybbuk. D-Y-B-B-U-K.
Well, just think of all those souls from the Holocaust that weren't able, that their life were cut short on purpose.
Yeah.
It could be like a combination. Could it be a combination of many, many souls going into one
it
spirit
could.
That's so powerful?
That's so powerful. Because this one is a little different. You know, I mean, it's, they talk about the Dybbuk box, okay? I know we're pronouncing it all different ways, but I don't know how it's actually pronounced. Is Dybbuk or Dybbuk? But anyhow, this particular box is the original. And since then, there's been so many people who say they have one. And you go on YouTube and it's everything from a little chalice looking thing to a box to a shoe box to, you know. So I guess a Dybbuk box nowadays is just a box to hold a spirit.
Okay.
But I don't know how you get the spirits to go in the box. Hey, get in the box or I'm going to attack you with squirrels.
Squirrel.
But yeah, there's there's also a thing called a Ibur, which is the positive side, which is a good spirit.
Okay.
And they'll attach themselves to people also if they have not accomplished what they need to accomplish before they go to heaven. And with that, they don't need to be exercised out of that, but a Dybbuk needs to be exercised out of the person's body. And that's done by a rabbi and 9 Jewish people. I don't know if they need to be religious people or what.
So there's like a certain like process or steps that you they have to follow to rid.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let me go over this. The exorcism of a Dybbuk. In Hasidic tradition, particularly powerful miracle worker rabbi known as a Baal Hashem.
Okay.
Could expel even the most evil Dybbuk through the rite of exorcism. However, exorcism of a Dybbuk today normally involves 9 Jews plus the rabbi. Okay. The ceremony is normally one of overpowering the Dybbuk, but first shocking it in attempts to have it leave on its own occasion. Okay. What they do is the group will surround the possessed victim and repeatedly recites the conforming, I can never say that word, but the conforming verse, which is Psalms 9:1. Okay. The rabbi proceeds to blow the shofar. He blows the shofar, which is a ram's horn trumpet in a specific pattern. This shocks both the possessed person and the Dybbuk, causing a loosening.
Like an attachment.
Yeah, like a loosening of the two entities. Once this is accomplished, the rabbi will enter into a dialogue with the Dybbuk, try to discover its purpose. So he talks and tries to find out why it's attaching himself to it. And that's another thing, too, is what these Dybbuks do is it's said that they're escaped souls from their purgatory.
Okay.
And they come back and attach themselves to somebody that was closely the same type of person as what they were in real life. All If they were heavy drinkers, they would attach themselves to someone and make them a heavy drinker. And so basically just try to turn their host body back into them.
Oh, interesting.
And they're usually very evil. But the group will proceed to heal it through dialogue and prayer. And it's also done for the person who is possessed. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the legitimate needs of the dabook must be satisfied before it actually leaves that person's body.
All right.
So who knows? I mean, if it didn't accomplish, basically, if it didn't accomplish something here on earth while he was actually a living person, he's not allowed to go into heaven until they finish that. Mm-hmm. And being an evil spirit, he is trying to accomplish something evil. And these can attach themselves to people, destroy those people's lives, leave them, go to somebody else, because it happens over years and years and years. It mm-hmm. just doesn't, it's not just a quick thing. Like a lot of your possessions, you know, may possess someone and they do an exorcism and it's done. This thing could go to somebody else. So when they do the exorcism, they actually try to find out what its purpose is.
Right.
And let it fulfill that purpose so that it can move on.
But one thing you mentioned was that the rabbi talks to it to find out, you know, what it wanted, yeah, or something. So would they have to have psychic abilities?
I don't know.
I mean, to be able to understand it or talk to it, you would have to have some kind of telepathic or psychic ability.
Mm-hmm. And that's why
unless it physically verbalizes through that person.
Where we've seen in people that are possessed, they actually speak during the exorcisms.
Yeah.
So what this basically sounds like is the same thing as the Christian tradition of regular exorcism and demonic possession.
Yeah, I think every religion has some form of that, mm-hmm. you know, possession, good and evil, exorcism.
Yeah. And what's different about this is they find the reason for it, like we said, mm-hmm. and try to accomplish that reason before it can move on to where Christian exorcisms, they just banish it to hell.
Well, here's the thing. So this box that Zach Bagans owns now is so, they say, is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling is because it was attached to the Holocaust, I mean, we had 6 million people that were basically murdered.
Yeah.
They were murdered.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, just the spirit energy alone from that to go in, you know, to be associated with that, it's got to be super powerful.
And knowing that that is from the Holocaust and the lady bought the box that was the only survivor of her family,
right.
A lot of those spirits probably went to her or went to that mm-hmm. box.
Sure.
Even though it was an evil spirit, being so powerful, like we said earlier, maybe it is.
I wonder if he's opened
a bunch of them.
I wonder if Zach's opened
I'm it. Sure he has.
Yeah.
Knowing Zach.
Yeah.
Now, the guy bought it and put it in his antique shop.
Mm-hmm.
He put it up in the attic first, and he had a lady that worked with him, and he went to the store or something. She was there alone, which is no big deal. In the basement. And she was down in the basement, and the lights started to flicker, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then she heard somebody in the room with her, and she knew that there was nobody else in the room. And as she's doing this, all of a sudden the lights started flashing. And she heard glass breaking. All of a sudden, it went pitch black.
Oh, my God. I'd be so scared.
And she said that she was not normally one to get scared, but she was terrified.
Wow.
Okay. And luckily, her cell phone worked. She called the guy that owns the shop and was screaming at him to get back to the shop. There's somebody in here. And he said he could hear in the background glass breaking, things getting knocked over. Mm-hmm. He said it sounded like someone was going through the place with a sledgehammer.
Oh, my gosh.
And he got back there. He told her, you know, call the cops. But he got there before the cops showed up. And he said he walked in. There was no lights on. So he turned on his flashlight. And he found out that every light fixture in the basement, mm-hmm. even the lights that he just had on the shelf that were going to be sold,
mm-hmm.
all the light bulbs were smashed out of the thing. He found the girl in the corner
mm-hmm.
crying.
Oh,
and he said, this chick, she is not one to cry, mm-hmm. that, but she was petrified, terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just one example of the many things that happened in the people that own this box. People have gone crazy. And it's always said, do not open the box.
Yeah.
And it was locked. It
curiosity kills the cat.
It had a double mechanism. It had a latch
mm-hmm.
that was secured, and it also had a little brass lock that was, you know, obviously he didn't have the key, so he broke the lock off and opened it, and that's when all this stuff started happening.
I heard it one time, too, one of the owners, and it might have been the guy who sold it on eBay, had buried it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like sealed it up and buried it underground just because just didn't want anybody to
And then he know dug it back it. Up.
I know, like...
But
it calls you.
But the reason, yeah, that too. And he said the reason why he dug it back up was he was afraid that somebody would find it.
Yeah. I don't know, Joe.
So all this stuff happened with this box. It obviously holds an evil spirit.
But if it's been opened, isn't the spirit out then?
That's what I was going to ask. How'd they get it back in? But maybe the spirit is not really coming and going. Maybe it's just like a turning up the volume on the stereo. Maybe by opening it, you allow that energy to flow
mm-hmm.
out of the box.
Could be a portal.
Yeah.
Portal box. Portable
box.
Portable portal.
Portable portal box.
Squirrel.
So Zach owns it now. It's in his museum. So we'll see what happens, you know, and it's sort of like Robert the Doll. Does he put it under a glass case? How do you contain this thing?
Right.
Do you put a magnetic resonance around it or something? I don't know.
No idea. I cannot wait to go to Vegas and go to that museum if it ever opens.
I thought he opened it already.
It's not open yet.
Oh, okay.
Like, come on, dude. Seriously, how long has it been?
He's been advertising it forever.
Forever. Let's open it.
Yeah.
Come on.
So that's the Jewish tradition of the Dibuk. And there was a movie. There was a play back. I had it wrote down here, but I can't find it.
I think it was the 20s.
Yeah, something like that. There's been several different movies about this.
Mm-hmm.
That was one weird thing we were talking about earlier was the one movie they changed the name of it. They changed the spelling. Maybe it's easier to read or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Just really mysterious things. You know, it's like just in the whole realm of haunted objects.
Mm-hmm.
Why does something choose to inhabit or possess certain things?
Mm-hmm.
Dolls.
Yeah.
Boxes.
With the box, I think it was more this because I don't know the history of why the certain items were placed in the box.
I don't think anybody knows.
No. I mean, there was two pennies,
mm-hmm.
two locks of hair,
yep.
a little statue that had Shalom on it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that seems more like she had the Dibuk in her life and she knew by doing these certain rituals would put it in the box,
mm-hmm.
almost like witchcraft in a way. I mean,
a little bit, yeah.
So I think that the reason why this box was chosen and why the items were put in there was to lure the Dibuk away from her body into the box where she could trap it so it would never be opened again for all of eternity. But why didn't she burn it or whatever? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I mean, you get rid of Ouija boards.
Yeah.
It was a ritual, but...
The only thing I could think is she had it until she died, and then it got sold.
And that's one thing is in the story is she never wanted it to leave her possession.
Then why didn't she get buried with it? Isn't that weird?
Well, she was gonna, but they wouldn't let her.
Oh.
In Jewish tradition, she was not allowed to be buried with it. That's how the daughters ended up with it.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, scary stuff, man.
Uh-huh. So she wanted to be, she wanted to be buried with it, but in... The daughters ended up with it, and it sat in their house and caused all kinds of trouble. And they didn't even open it. The daughters never opened it
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they knew from the mother never to open the box. And they got rid of it, and that's the timeline of all the things that happened. And now we'll see. I mean, it messes with electronics, and here it's in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Which
is the capital of, like, electronics.
Yeah, all the lights, the... Slot machines and the video roulette machines.
Yes. Take me there now. We could, I know what we could do.
Oh no.
We could train some squirrels.
Squirrels.
To go up in the machine and click the right thing so we win.
There we go. There we go. Sir, why do you have a squirrel with you? That's my pet squirrel. And now Jen's starting to laugh.
Squirrels.
Yep.
Train squirrels. I just, you know. The mugshot takes cake, man.
I thought we were talking about the Dibuk box.
Oh, sorry.
So what's...
I was possessed by a squirrel.
What is your opinion on that? Do you I mean, you know, Zach's got the museum now.
Mm-hmm.
John Zaffis has his museum. There's a lot of museums poking up around. I mean, you always had the oddity stores and that, but
sure.
There's so many museums now that are popping up just for
haunted objects. I just don't know if there's that many haunted objects out there. Is it because people want them to be haunted and they want to make money off of it? Or if it's truly haunted, you know, you're going to charge people money to come to see it.
Yeah. And
I don't know.
There's only one.
It's cool in a way, but if you have that many objects in one particular area and you have tons of people coming through there,
that's what we've talked about before. And then now they have
jump into somebody.
Yeah, they have one of the most haunted objects in a building now on display for people to come see.
I think we're going to be one of those people, John.
Well, we will, of course. But since the craze has come up about the book box, there's been so many copies and so many people say they own the box.
Yeah.
Which brings up another idea to me is, how do they know this is the real one?
I don't know.
You know?
Don't know.
Because there's a lot of them out there that look the exact same. People have made them the exact same.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I thought I saw one on eBay this week.
Yeah, there is. There are on there.
Like $345 or something.
But no, I'm thinking.
No, it was like $3,500, wasn't it?
There was one for $20,000.
Oh, shut up.
But I think with, you know, Zach, I'm sure he did a lot of research or had his team do research, because that's another thing people don't realize about the show is it's just not the four of those guys. It's
there's a whole team of researchers.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah,
all that stuff. Yep.
And just if you guys are thinking about getting these haunted objects,
call us and let us know we want to talk about
it. Do some research. You know, I can go on eBay right now and buy the real D-Book box.
There's so many haunted dolls for sale on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like any old doll, somebody's going to throw up on there with a really good story and it's haunted.
Yeah. So do research, folks.
Yeah. Listen to our show. We'll tell y'all.
Yes.
All we know, our all truth.
The little that
might
we
not
know.
Be the right, but it's we'll just bring y'all the info that we can.
That we know of. I try to do enough research to give good insight. And if you guys think of anything else that you want us to, you know, if you find any more research about the D-Book box that I don't know about, let us know. But yeah, so. And if you have any show topics, let us know too. I know last week we did Incubus and Succubus because somebody asked us to do.
It's really trending high too. That's like one of our higher rated shows.
It wasn't that good. We didn't talk that good. I thought we did.
We were awesome.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I trained squirrels to do the show for us.
Yes.
And circus monkeys and lions and bears. And best show ever.
Yeah.
Best show
ever. I'm going to change her mugshot and turn it into my Facebook main page post.
Joe found a new girl.
Yeah. Hey, she's single. She can train my squirrels.
She's single, Joe.
I know.
You can be pen pals.
And
she gets 65 years.
Is if you look at her picture, you notice that one eye is looking off this direction and the other is. So she can look in two places at one time.
She can train two squirrels at once.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, enough of that.
Yes. What's on the agenda for next week?
Oh, my gosh. We're so busy. I love it. Well, I don't know.
MUFON.
Oh, MUFON. We're going to be at the MUFON show, everybody, on the 29th. It's in Erie, Pennsylvania. It'll be very eerie.
Eerie?
But yeah, definitely come out. Stop by our booth. Say hello, buy a book, buy some dowsing rods.
Get your picture with me.
Yeah, get your picture with Joe Shoddy. He's a celeb.
Celebrity.
Celebrity. Yes. But yeah, definitely come out if you're in the area of Erie, Pennsylvania. And it's at the Bayfront Convention Center. Not sure of the cost to get in, but, you know, bring a little cheddar so you can spend it at our booth.
Yeah. And after that, at the end of May
20th, 21st.
St. Joseph's in Lorain, Old St. Joseph's in Lorain, Ohio. Look it up for the address.
Goodness.
It's 1800 something street. I wrote down here in my notes.
Livingston.
Okay.
So come to that show. It's a free show to get in. There's going to be authors and psychics and paranormal podcast and all kinds of ghost hunting groups there. But the fun thing is during the day, they're going to have tours of the hospital for $5. And it's like a 1 hour or two you get to walk around. But at night, there's a overnight ghost hunt there, yeah, or investigation.
I'm doing it.
It's $50.
I'm doing it.
Go for Joe.
I'm going to do it.
Listen, Joe and I were there.
Oh.
It is a creep.
Shadow figures.
Shadow people, door slamming in the middle of the day.
Wait till you listen to the interview.
It's so good.
We're going to post it.
Yeah, like coming up.
2 weeks or 3 weeks before the show.
But if you can, make it out there. They are, you know, taking donations. Everything is for charity. They're going to donate to a couple food banks, yeah, and some shelters around the area. So
grab a couple bags of food.
Yeah, you know, non-perishable,
of course. And bring it in. And if you bring guys,
your friends.
I tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. I'll make a deal with them right now.
All right.
What's if the they deal? Bring a bag full of cans, mm-hmm. canned goods, and show us that they brought a bag full of canned goods, we'll give them a sticker set, one of every one of our stickers.
Wow, that's exciting.
How about that?
Awesome. We have some cool stickers.
Yeah.
That will be for sale, but if you bring a whole bag, Joe is challenging you.
Yep, a whole bag. That's not just a little tiny bag.
Or I'm maybe talking, a box.
Yeah.
Because cans are heavy.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, on a serious note, it is for local food bank. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are hurting right now. So, you know, come enjoy some paranormal stuff and support good causes. Because mm-hmm. I know when you do good, good comes back to you.
That's right. What you put out in the universe comes back to you 10 times fold.
That's right. So,
all right. Well, thank you for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
As we always leave the show, we want you to do some stuff for us. More stuff. We tell these guys to do a lot of stuff, don't we?
Yeah, sorry. We're bossy.
Wow. I never realized how much we tell them. But
you tell them.
Do it. Bring some cans to the show.
Bring your cans. But always
get up on iTunes, wherever you get this podcast from. Please leave us a positive rating and review.
Subscribe to our YouTube page.
Yes. YouTube page. There's a sexy video that's up there that I just posted a sexy video.
Joe.
If you're listening on iHeartRadio, please give us a thumbs up on every show.
Yay.
And share it. Tell three friends.
Yeah.
If you tell three friends, they will tell three friends. And then they'll tell three friends.
And we'll have lots of friends.
Yeah.
Definitely. Thanks, everybody, for listening. It's 222 Paranormal Podcast.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Squirrel. Joe's being attacked by squirrels.
Got my nuts.